They did a study looking at what asking children between the ages of 12 and 18, what is the main thing you want from your parents? And you know what they said? To listen to us.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Learn to control your thoughts and reactions to the world around you. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and guest Dr. Caroline Leaf and make the decision to operate in love every day.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Thursday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you today and we give you praise and honor. We thank you for this word today. We thank you for sending Caroline Leaf to us today. We receive her anointing. We receive her ministry. And we give you praise and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus. Yes. Would you join me in welcoming Dr. Leaf to this broadcast today?
Thank you.
Caroline, so thank nice you so much for coming.
Thank you.
And may I ask you this? Is Gloria good looking today or not?
Beautiful. Beautiful.
What do you want?
We'll talk.
Okay.
I'm thinking about what you said. Two things that yesterday's broadcast really said something to me. You can make a decision once and for all, or you'll have to make it 50,000 times a day. But there are certain things that you decide, and it's that way forever. You don't even pray about it again. This is it. And the other is, when you were talking about waking up in the morning and making decisions for that day. Well, when it comes to being slow to anger, quick to repent, and quick to forgive, you make that decision, a quality decision. It's a decision about which there's no more debate. I am going to walk in love. I'm going to live this life. I'm going to do this by the grace and the help of the Spirit of God that lives within me. I am going to do it. It's a commandment. It is not optional in the kingdom of God. If you're going to be a Christian, that's what you're going to do. The other is he bore... Literally, he bore my shame. Because I cannot do one single thing about yesterday. There's an old country song. Yesterday is dead and gone. Yeah, it's gone, brother. Let her die. Amen. If you don't, you will live your life in condemnation. Condemnation has never, ever changed anything. It just makes things worse. Now we're beginning to learn why it makes things worse. Because you're actually living in condemnation, you're killing your brain. And the brain is the go-between between the mind and the spirit. The mind has to have the brain to use in order to bring the spirit man to ascendancy where you are spirit, soul, or say it like this, spirit and intellect and body. That should be the order of it. Your spirit being should be in ascendancy. and have command over the other two through the Word of God. But without a sound mind, which has to have a healthy brain, the whole system is going to suffer because it's an integrated system.
Exactly.
And this business of shame and reproach and living in a life of shame because of the way you've conducted your life in the past, born-again believers, children of God, have no business with that.
You have to forgive yourself at some point.
Yeah, you do.
To make it work.
Yeah, and I like, if I've heard Gloria say this, get over it. Get over it. And I was talking to the military, whole room full of soldiers, and we got to talking about what Gloria says, but Gloria says, get over it. And one of those guys hollered out, Brother Copeland, I see it. I said, what did you see? He said, get over it.
Amen.
Yeah, okay.
Get over it.
That's right.
In other words, you get ascendancy over it. See, a soldier's trained to take the high ground. And that's the way he was thinking. Your spirit man should have the high ground. Amen.
And it is, and it's that's natural, as we've been saying on the broadcast. I said on Monday about how our spirit's the 99% of us.
Yeah.
And the physical is the brain and body's 1%. It doesn't mean that it's not important because it's 1%. Because as you've explained, exactly. So in other words, it's how we express our spirit through our brain and our body, because that's where the thoughts are built, and then we speak, we use our tongue, etc. So we need our physical to express who we are, the nature, but we've got to make sure that what we're expressing is aligned with what we're supposed to be doing. And that's a decision when you wake up in the morning. This is what I would do with my patients, what I've done with myself, and it's work. That's what I'm finding in this day and age. People are wanting the quick fix, the tablet to make the pain go away, or the, you know, just use God like a genie. And I say that in it concerns me. People, I'm just going to say this, but I say the scripture, now God fix it. No, you are the one that has to deal with this stuff. You know, Jesus modeled that in the Garden of Gethsemane. He modeled the fact that he faced the issue, went through the issue and rose, which is, yes, there's all the other things, and I'm not taking away from that. I'm just saying there's another message there where we are, where Jesus modeled how we're supposed to deal with our stuff. We don't squish it and hide it. You actually face it. You sweat blood. You deal with it. But you also don't deal with it alone, because his disciples went to sleep and he woke them up and said, can you not sit with me just for an hour? He didn't ask them to take his issue. He asked them to support him. So in other words, we get a model there of how humanity is supposed to behave. Deal with your issue, but get through it, your thing,
yeah.
Okay? And also, yeah, support each other in love, not judgment, not condemnation, not you should be doing this, not Bible bashing, not laws, rules, but love, which looks different for each person. And research shows that as you determine to go into that mode, you increase a person's resilience by activating certain genetic switches in the brain that enable a person to face that stuff. But alone, we can't do it. We die alone. And that's what the research, I mentioned that in yesterday's broadcast, that more people die annually from the lack of love, from loneliness, than any other disease known to mankind. Mm. So that's why coming to you've got a certain things you have to make a decision about.
You
have to wake up.
Very close friend, young man that's in a ministry, name's Dean Sykes. He ministers to teenage school-age children. It is amazing. It's shocking how many teenagers contemplating suicide.
Yes.
And it's the result of what you're talking about.
It is. And I've done a podcast on that. I've got a lot of podcasts where I talk about the suicide rate. It used to be one every 15 minutes. Now, that between the ages of 10 and 18, it's up to one in every... Well, it's actually across from the age of 8 all the way through every age group. It's almost one every 45 seconds. And
even today, the public schools are inviting Dean in to deal with
it. To talk about that.
And yeah. And he just takes them through... the fact that they matter.
Well, that's the thing. You can't tell someone that they're a label or that they're a broken machine, or that they just whack on, because that's what the approach is these days, is if you do something just a little different or whatever, you're not allowed to talk about it. You get labeled as a behavioral issue, or this label, and medicated. And these children are getting medicated with drugs that are killing them. And that, I'm not talking about them illegal drugs. I'm talking about legal drugs, antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications.
Oh my goodness.
Ritalin. These are killing our children. They are killing our children. And they're not being allowed to deal with their stuff. They're not being allowed to be children. Our school systems are so broken. And their children are not being allowed to express their emotions. You know, to keep your brain healthy, you have to face this and redesign it. Reconceptualize it. If you keep it, it becomes toxic waste. If you don't allow someone to talk about, I've gone through this bullying, I've gone through this, which is what we're not allowing our children to do. Even parents, they did a study looking at what asking children between the ages of 12 and 18, what is the main thing you want from your parents? And you know what they said? To listen to us. I've got so many, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. We should be tuning into our children and listening to them and helping them. We shouldn't be just labeling them and drugging them. There's so many factors involved in suicide, but suicide's also affecting all age groups. It's just that it's stretched into even four-year-olds are committing suicide. How does a four-year-old even have that pain that they want to end their life?
Don't you bring shame right into that mix?
It is, because they've been...
It's at the heart of it.
Exactly. If you're not being recognized for your identity, if you're not being listened to, you have a story. If I don't stop and say, what is your story, and hear you, I'm overriding your identity. I'm overriding the you-ness, the humanity in you. What's there to live for? You remove hope before there's even any hope to begin with. And then one more label on top of another, one more adults telling you things, and then it goes into adulthood and the patterns are set up and you get these relationships that are broken. So we as a society, we see this massive change. We've always had problems. The human condition has always been with us. But we certainly see a major shift that occurred 50 years ago in the management of mind. Prior to that, we still allowed people to talk about their feelings and talk about their emotions and talk about what they were going through and recognize and then teach them to move forward. The Gethsemane model. Now that's not the model. The model is slightly looking for this neurological approach. You are your brain, you're a computer, you've got this weird behavior. Within 15 minutes, check the boxes. Okay, you have this label, you have this drug, move on, you have a mental disorder. That's broken the person. Where's the hope? It's condemnation, it's guilt, it's shame. Yeah. And then if you're in the church environment, it almost makes it worse sometimes, and it shouldn't, because now you're not supposed to be feeling that. So why aren't you faithful enough? And so there's been almost like a breakdown in connection between how we deliver the spiritual message of love and the practical application of it. So we need to allow people in the church as well to say, not to talk negative, I agree with that, but they may have to, what I call, freak out in the love zone. So that is literally go through the pain in a safe zone, in that safe environment where you know that you're in the arms of God, whatever you visualize, whatever scriptures you use to help you, but people help you to get to that point where you freak out in the love zone, where you work through that issue, and then you move forward, you don't get stuck there. And you know, you also said something very interesting earlier on about that, how, you know, things that are in the past are over, we shouldn't let them come back and haunt us. If something is haunting us, and it'll be in the form of an intrusive thought, an intrusive toxic thought, which is causing damage in the brain and therefore damaging our bodies, we can, by adopting a mindset of thinking, we can actually identify those, so that when they identify, they're not in the dark, they're in the light. So when something's in the light, it becomes weakened, because we can see it now. And we see physically inside the brain as well, that as soon as you acknowledge and recognize, hey, this is a pattern of thought that's negative, I can deal with this, because it's now weakened. So the awareness of, if you shine a light on the darkness, it's weaker. Weaker means I can overpower it, because I've got a powerful mind. That's a very powerful message to help someone who's in pain, to say, yes, you're facing the pain, but to quote Gloria, get over it. We've got to let them face it to get over it. That's what Jesus did. He faced it, and then he got over it. And there's that eternal thing of nowness that was happening at that at that moment as well. And we've got to be able to empower and enable people to do that. Or people will kill themselves, because you're taking hope away. You take identity away. It's a global problem, a pandemic problem, where people don't know who they are. So being wired, understanding your, I call it your perfect new nature, you're wired for love nature. There's a blueprint which you develop through your lifetime. I wrote another book last year called The Blueprint. It's one of the books that you endorse as well, Blueprint for Perfection, to understand that nature. Yeah. So that where that is getting into the nature, this year I'm trying to show people how can I have the coping skills to know that I can't control the events and circumstances of my life. I can't control the bullying. I can't control the socioeconomic and the poverty and the whatever and the whatever and the decisions my parents make or decisions the spouse makes. But you can control your reactions. And in controlling your reactions and stepping into the love zone, you generate love energy. And what does the scripture say? Perfect love casts out fear. So we have to teach ourselves and our children how to operate in love so that we generate love and that that the love wipes out the evil. That's why I'm trying to get people in the right mindset, because mindsets are power. They are activating the power of love. I'm going to think. I'm going to make sure I get into a thinker mindset. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to have gratitude. I'm going to have happiness. I'm going to, and I explain all of those scientifically and little tips to train you to get into those mindsets. But you start the day with a decision to, those are the mindsets I'm going to literally wear them.
Yes, amen.
And then I'm going to walk through the day connecting with God
that's
and adopting
that.
That's
who I am and that's what I do.
Exactly, exactly. And you know, that one more thing about, I mean, there's a million more things, but just in terms of the thinker mindset, they did a research study with 18 to 77-year-olds, 11 studies done through Harvard and the University of Virginia, and they put these people in of all these ages, because we always think, oh, technology, kids, and kids don't think in that deal. No, it is across all generations now. It's not just limited to the young generation. They put them in this room and they had to think for between the various different experiments. They either had to think for 5 minutes or 15 minutes. And when I say think, they didn't have their phones, computers, iPads. They just had to close their eyes. It was just them in this room, and they just had to think. Do you know that the majority of the people from ages 18 to 77 hated doing that? They hated being alone with their thoughts, because we haven't taught people how to be alone with our thoughts. Mm-hmm. Yet that is an instruction throughout Proverbs. You wrote that phenomenal book about Proverbs. That's one of my favorite books of yours, where you spoke Proverbs, the pink book. I remember that cover. And you just took all the Proverbs and you spoke. Your overarching message that I got from that book was that we need to be, it's a deliberate, time-consuming decision to actually immerse ourselves in wisdom. It's not going to just happen overnight. You know, and that's that wisdom that we see, that get understanding, get wisdom, which is in, it is the overarching instruction of Proverbs. That is what we've got to teach ourselves to do. We've got to give ourselves the leeway and the understanding that it's going to take time, that it's okay if you fall, but you can reconceptualize, you can rewire, you can get out of it. That's not the message that we are giving our youth or each other anymore. People are scared to be alone with their thoughts. As you access Proverbs concepts, you learn how to be alone with your thoughts. That's the message I got from your book. You may have not spoken the science, but you said we've got to get into this time where we learn how to be alone with our thoughts. People prefer to shock themselves. In that experience, people prefer to shock themselves than actually be alone with their thoughts. Just a few years ago, that wouldn't have been the case. So we've shifted in the last 50 years. So we are on a decline in humanity until we change it. But a decline is not a bad thing in this sense, because if we know the problem, we can fix it. You know, so it's becoming very aware now. And that's, so I don't say this to make people fearful. I say this to make people have hope.
So my mind is my mind.
Exactly. Your mind is your mind, and you choose your mindset. You choose the power
Philippians
you want to
4,
operate in.
Verse 6, be careful or be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus, finally. And it won't do it without this. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or moral excellence, if there be any praise, think on these things.
That scripture are these are unpacked into these 15 mindsets. All 15 mindsets are in there, in that scripture. And that's what you're supposed to be wearing every day. And God designed us to do this every 10 seconds. We can, every 10 seconds, six times a minute, we can regulate. Am I in this thinker moment? Am I in this, what does love look like in my moment every 10 seconds? That's the goal, I believe, of humanity. That's the perfection, because then we are operating in love. When we operate in love, we operate in God's wisdom.
If you meditate these,
you are getting in love.
If you spend some time thinking about them, the reason those people don't like to be alone with their thoughts, they don't know what to think.
Exactly, they've lost the...
And so, but word people like us, the Bible is first place in our lives, and we find scriptures like this, we begin to practice it. So, you begin to think, well, whatsoever things are true. Well, yeah, but it's true. Yeah, it's true. It's true what she said about me. It's true what he did to me. Yeah, but when I, wait a minute, whoa. That's not lovely. So I can't think that
so
one. I got to get that one out.
You have to re.
It I wired have to rethink in, that.
If you've wired it in, you can wire it out. If you've wired it
yes,
in,
ma'am,
you can wire
good.
It out. Which is
yeah, that's
principle.
Really good.
But you know, Kenneth, what really worries me, and Gloria, this is what I'm seeing, because we get thousands, like you do, thousands of emails. I teach in churches and universities and medical, all kinds of environments, academic. What really concerns me is we know this. You say we word people, et cetera, et cetera. The majority of people that send me emails are people that understand the scriptures, and they are as broken as the people that don't even have never opened a Bible in their life. Why is there a disconnect between what we spiritually know to be correct and what's actually happening out there in people that have had an insight into God's love? This worries me, and this I'm seeing more and more, because I'm thinking, gosh, you. Some people send me emails. I go to church. I read my Bible every, you know, all this stuff they're supposed to be doing, but I'm broken. This, and there's this litany of nothing of that. And there's a disconnect. So my desire is to try and help people rebuild the connect again.
It just happens to be that the Bible has something to say about that.
I thought you'd find some scripture.
Yeah.
So give us an answer.
The half-brother of Jesus, same mother, different fathers. His name is James. Be ye a doer of the word and not hearers only.
That's good.
Deceiving your own self.
So you
heard it.
But you're not doing
it. You're not doing it.
Exactly. That's the disconnect.
Well, in fact, you know, back over there in Philippians 4, 6 through 9, the next thing that he said, think on these things, and the things that you have both seen in me and learned, do them.
Do them. Otherwise.
You have to do it.
Exactly.
You have to. And he goes ahead to say, for if you're a hearer of the word, not a doer, you're like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. So you've gone to church, and you've heard a great sermon on faith and praise God, and before you get home, somebody said something nasty, and here you go.
Back to square one.
So he beholds himself. He went to church, heard the message, but went his way and forgot it. Forgot what he looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't make the decision to be a doer before he went to church.
Exactly. And in order to be a doer, you have to actually do that meditation thing, which means you have to build a memory. Because when you meditate, you actually build a memory. So therefore, that isn't just a scripture that you use like a magic potion. You've actually transformed
that's good.
As part of your network. You've actually wired that in.
And we're out of time.
Oh, well, let's talk about that next time.
Praise God.
Information is more available and accessible than ever. Yet many find themselves feeling alone, overwhelmed by the constant bombardment from social media and the chaos of their day. In her latest book, Think, Learn, Succeed, Dr. Caroline Leaf teaches you to better understand and use your mind to build a life that is filled with significance. With over 3 decades of experience in communication pathology, Dr. Leaf has created 3 practical tools to assist you in your journey towards success in life. The Mindset Guide identifies 15 mindsets and gives you insight into the powerful part they play in shaping how you see the world. The Gift Profile will reveal the unique way you process information by helping you understand how you think. And the 5-step learning process will switch on your brain so that it can grow and build useful memories, leading to improved work performance and stronger relationships. Renew your mind daily with the Word and shift your life from survival mode to success in God.
Order Dr. Caroline Leaf's book, Think, Learn, Succeed, at a special price of $16.99 on our website, kcm.org/TV special, or call 800-600-7395. Shipping charges may apply. Contact your regional office for more information. You can improve your memory and increase your learning. As you optimize your thought life, you'll unlock your hidden potential to live a meaningful, well-lived life.
What you and I are seeing in these broadcasts is the power of the decision to operate in the love of God, because God is love. And what does love do? It casts out all fear. Now, when you make daily decisions that line up with the Word of God, you begin to lead a changed life, a life of peace, a life of joy, a life of hope. And that's why this week our offer is Think, Learn, Succeed by Dr. Caroline Leaf. And in this book, she gives us 3 tools that help improve our memory, our learning, our performance, and our health. Number 1, the mindset guide. Number 2, the gift profile. And then finally, the 5-step learning process. It's all in this book, and I invite you to get it, read through it, and then take that gift profile and find out for yourself how uniquely you think and how uniquely you see the world. You need to get a hold of this book. So order yours today. Go to kcm.org to find out how. If you need prayer for anything, I want to remind you that Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a prayer line. My grandfather has always said that the foundation for every successful Christian endeavor is rooted in prayer. And we have people here that are trained in the Word of God, trained how to pray in faith with you and everything around you. I don't care. It might feel like everything is shaking, but the Bible says that the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. And what you need to do is take hold of the Word of God, take hold of His promises for your life and for your situation. And I invite you, if you don't know what the Word says about what you're going through, give us a call, because there's somebody here that can point you in the direction of the truth that comes out of the Word of God. Pray that prayer with you, pray in faith, and then you will become one of the thousands of testimonies we are seeing come in from all over the world about the good things that God is doing in people's life. And we want to see the same thing happen in your life. So to find out the phone number of the Kenneth Copeland Ministries office nearest you, just visit us online at kcm.org. Now, on tomorrow's broadcast, Brother and Sister Copeland, Dr. Caroline Leaf, they're going to share with us the importance, check this out, of growing and developing your brain. How important is this? Now, the key to all of it is to be a doer of the Word of God. How rich is this? God has so blessed us to give us this kind of insight and revelation and to change our lives with it. We invite you to join us again tomorrow for that broadcast. But until then, we want you to know this: God loves you and we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast is made available to you free by the partners and friends of Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Go to kcm.org and request your free copy on DVD, CD, or as a digital download. Shipping charges may apply. At kcm.org, you can also access many free word-based resources to help you build your faith. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or our YouTube channel. Keep your faith strong with the Word of God and step into a year of abundant harvest.